There you go. Okay. So let's try to hop right over to Siman Tzadi Gimel. It's a few very basic principles in Siman Tzadi Gimel that we have to know. And probably the Yisoides of Siman Tzadi Gimel, the basic Yisoides of Siman Tzadi Gimel are probably the ones that you have to know the most to answer any shaila. So Tzadi Gimel is pretty fundamental. It says like this: Kedera Shavisha Ba Basar. If you have a flesh kapat, lo yivashal ba chala. Do not cook milchiks in it. Okay. Like I said last night, if you don't know this by now, then you've missed something. So, okay. So if you a flesh kapat, do not cook milchiks in it. Then bishal ba, and if you did. Besoich meisleis, if it's within 24 hours of the fleishiks, aser benoisein tam, then it asers the milk if there's tam in the milk from the meat which comes out of the pot. Okay, so there's meat flavor in the pot. If the meat flavor comes out into the milk and you could taste that meat flavor in the milk, then it makes the milk aser. Now, first, let's just do one thing at a time. First of all, it said here that it has to be within 24 hours. Why does it have to be within 24 hours? Because there's a rule that any flavor that stays in a pot, in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours, becomes pogum. It gets a bad taste. And therefore, things which are pogum do not aser with their flavor. The flavor does not aser anything, and it's not a problem. It's very important to note that that's only true. People make this mistake. It's only true for flavor inside a pot. But be'en, anything which is not just flavor in a pot, if there's real mamashos, a schmutz of food on it, it does not become pogum in 24 hours. So if the pot was not cleaned, even if it was left overnight and it was left out for 24 hours, it could be spoiled, but it's still royal achilas kelev, it's royal achilas adam, just doesn't taste that good. So that stuff will still aser the milk. So if you have your old chicken soup pot that was left out overnight and it was left out for 24 hours, you don't say, well, it was left out for 24 hours. No, it's only true for flavor that is inside the walls of the pot. Not true with Ben. Okay? Now, how do you know if the meat flavor gave flavor into the milk pot, into the milk? How do you know? So the Rama says, Sarf l'sha'er, negative kolak there. You measure. And we said, you have to assume that you need 60 times the milk versus the volume of the walls of the pot, which we say doesn't really happen. We usually don't have 60 times. And since we don't usually have 60 times, therefore it's always going to be a problem. However, that's in the Ramah, and the Ramah brings this down, and this is what he holds in general. However, the Shach brings from the Mechaber, the Shach and Sefkatan Aleph says that there's another way to see if the milk tastes, if you could taste the meat flavor in the milk, and that is Kfela, you could taste it. Taste the milk, and if the milk tastes like meat, then it's a problem. Very simple. Kfela means that you give it to an expert. You give it to a chef. If it's a literal translation, a chef, some sort of chef, some sort of expert. You give it to him, and you let the chef tell you, there's a tinge of meat in this, you know? So. Right.
What's right?
The guy that dreamt up that there's a cranberry, mist flavor inside the this bottle of wine. So that guy could probably taste that there's some meat in the milk. Okay. So the now we're going to introduce a concept now that we're going to need to go back to again in 2 weeks. I'm not expecting you all to remember it in 2 weeks, but at least when I say again in 2 weeks, it shouldn't sound like brand new. That's the goal. Okay. So the Shach over here says, very simple, what we said, you give the milk to a kfela, and if the kfela tastes some meat, it's all sort of the milk. The kfela should be a guy, by the way. If the kfela is Jewish, then it's not a guy. Now you give it to a kfela, and if the kfela tastes the meat, it's not
funny.
Right, yeah. So the kfela, so the kfela, and then that's tarichas. That's a tarichas. And then if the kfela tastes the meat, then it's no good. If he doesn't, it's fine. Frekt the the Prima Gadim over here in the Sedas Aleph brings down a kasha from the Pre-Toyar. The Pre-Toyar is the Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim HaKadosh we know as the Mefarish on the Chumash, but he wrote a Sefer on Yeridaya called Pre-Toyar. It's very hard to find it, actually, but I have one at home. It's also in some of the black Shulchan Aruch that's printed. But Akoponim, it's an incredible Sefer. So he writes over there the following. He has a kasha. Frekta Pre-Toyar, to be mocked in one point to his question. When you have basar b'chalav, which part is treif? The basar, the chalav, or both? Both. So it means the basar dikka basar b'chalav is asar, and the chalav dikka basar b'chalav is asar, right? Both parts. So frekta, the pre-toyar, like this. When you taste the milk, what are you tasting? To see if any meat left the pot and it entered into the milk. Okay. So Zach, there, the kfela will be able to tell you if there's a meat flavor or not. But there's something else that could have happened, which is the milk could have gotten into the pot, right? The meat comes out, the milk goes in, right? So now milk went into the pot. That milk that went into the pot for sure did become basar b'chalav because there's meat flavor in the pot. So the meat flavor in the pot makes the milk flavor in the pot basar b'chalav, right? So now, in the pot, you have two things which are a problem. You have kosher meat, and you have basar b'chalav dikka milk. Because this basar b'chalav dikka milk, this milk that went in as kosher milk became basar b'chalav dikka milk, because now the flavor in the pot now asar the milk in the pot. Okay? Now you have treif milk in the pot. Now that treif milk is going to come back into the kosher milk. So the kefela can taste that. The kefela cannot taste. He can only taste when a foreign flavor comes into the milk. So you'll be able to taste the tinge of meat flavor. He cannot tell if there's treif milk that went into the kosher milk because it's min b'mino. It tastes the same. So therefore, it's impossible to know how could a kfela ever tell you if the milk is kosher. Maybe the milk that started off as kosher milk went into the pot, became treif, and came back out, and now it's going to answer it, and there's no way for the kfela to be able to tell you that. You hear the kasha? Michal, you're on board with that kasha? Shmak kasha.
I mean, that means that there's no bittul.
Even if there is, but you need 60. And you won't be able to tell if there's 60 by tasting it. And we always say that there's not 60 the contents of the pot doesn't have 60 against the walls of the pot. So therefore, it should be also out this. Okay? So, David, you know the teretz, right? Well,
yeah.
Two teretzim, right? But the teretz that we're going to mention now is that the concept is, he says, is a concept called mekusher. The concept is that the milk that's in the contents of the pot, some of that milk went into the pores, right? But really, it's not separate from the milk in the pot. It's really the milk all over is one unit of milk. And since we know that there's not enough potency, the meat doesn't have enough koyach to aser the milk in the pot, so therefore the milk that's in the sides of the pot also doesn't become aser because it's one unit of milk. So for example, if I have a slice of cheese over here and meat fell on one area, you don't just say, well, taste that area. The whole thing is one piece of cheese, let's say. So all the milk in the pot plus the milk that's in the walls of the pot is one unit of milk. If any part of it doesn't taste like milk, like meat, then you assume that there's enough milk to be mevato all the basar, and therefore even the milk in the sides of the pot remains kosher. So this is a concept of mekusher, that the milk in the sides of the pot cannot be judged separately from the milk inside the pot. It's all one big unit of milk, and therefore, based on the concept of mekusher, we will not aser the milk inside the walls of the pot. And therefore, however, it is important to note that let's say you would pour all the milk out, but the walls are still boiling hot. At that moment, the milk inside the pot will become treif, because it's not mekusher to anything anymore, because all the milk is out. And then you pour milk back in and reheated it, now it would be a problem. And kefela won't help you, because at that point, the milk inside the pot is like a treif milk. And now if you have treif milk cooking in a milk pot, kefela won't help you. So just interesting to have.
The kshur needs to be at the same time.
And it has to be there to milk in the pot, it has right? To be
physically connected.
Right.
You take it out.
It's not connected anymore. So now the milk inside the walls of the pot is left by itself. But that meat taste is only 1/60th of that milk. So when it comes back into the milk in the pot, you're not gonna be able to taste that meat anymore. But it's still gonna be shishim. Yeah, yeah. So the milk comes chanan, and therefore, even though you don't taste the meat anymore in the big milk, but it already acid the milk itself. So now that's in the problem. So you have to let it cool before you take out the milk. Because if you don't let it cool before you take out the milk, now the pot will be, I don't have to, but I'm just saying you don't have to, but just maybe you do, because then maybe you'll be the so much about Bishal Basa Bachal.
The milk in the wall.
It's not like it's made. No, there's a good chop over here. If you wait for it to cool, there's nothing, none of the milk becomes Basa Bachal. Neck, right? None of the milk will become Basa Bachal. If you take out the milk, no, it's Makusha.
Once it cools down.
No, if you let it cool. Let everything cool and then take out the milk.
The walls are going to be awesome.
No. No, because Makusha never became awesome.
The walls inside have awesome yesterday, just an hour ago, now it's
finished. So what? Oh, that's not possible. Chalav. That's called having basar and chalav in it. That's not possible. Chalav. They never got. Hold on. While the milk was cooking the pot, it was makusher, right? So the milk in the walls never became basar b'chalav because it's makusher. That's what we're saying.
It never became basar from heaven. It was never by layer from the meat to the level that it's going to be.
But never. So the milk is not basar. The meat is also grata, but the milk is not also.
Okay. But now that I stop and say.
So now the milk, if you spill it out and the walls of the pot are still also, so then all the milk in the walls of the pot will become basar b'chalav. Because now it's klirishin. Shalom agabeish. It's klirishin, right? So you lost your makusher. 5 minutes, so then you're basar b'chalav then. So wait to 24 hours.
I mean, the Ramah says you can cook other things.
No, I'm saying out. Maybe you're over Bishlam Basa B'chalav. They're doing that.
You can cook other things.
Oh, the Ramah says you cook other things. Very good. Let's get to that. Okay. No, don't think about what I'm saying. It's geshmak of the hair. It could be that it's taka also to take out that while it's hot, like you're saying. Because then at that point, you're cooking, you're creating a new Basa B'chalav. You're not allowed to create a new Basa B'chalav. Okay.
You're not. See,
that's
not gonna be awesome.
Yeah, so what? But I'm making him that they, now they're cooking together. For example, am I allowed if I have a piece of meat cooking in a milk pot? So the milk, the meat is awesome, but the milk is not. Right? The milk is not awesome because there's a lot, there's big more than shishim. Okay, Doug, what do you hold about that case? I have a pot of milk. There's milk, and there's a piece of meat goes inside, but there's more than shishim in the milk. Can I get the meat? So the meat is also, but the milk is malted, right? So am I allowed to now take out some milk? So now there's less than shishim, and now the milk will become basar b'chalav. Is that called? Maybe you're not allowed to do that because that's called bishul basar b'chalav. Because by you taking out some of the milk, now the rest of the milk is becoming basar b'chalav. Maybe that's called bishul basar b'chalav.
This guy can drop us Mahalov.
There's no meat flavor. There's no meat flavor in the milk. And by me taking out, it's bottle.
Does that mean the meat is
bottle? I'm not asking how the bottle is Mahatkhila. You're saying I'm not. No, I do that, of course not.
It's ready Basa B'chalav.
No, but the milk in the fridge wasn't Basa B'chalav. No, but the milk in the fridge is not Basa B'chalav.
That's the Machla. It's already has Basa B'chalav. It already has a Shemus Rav. The pot that's in the pot.
But the milk in the fridge knows never Asr. You're making a new Basa B'chalav now.
Is that
making
it right
Asr? You're talking about taking out more milk. Was that before you take out the meat?
Yeah, the meat is still there. And now I'm going to take out a certain amount of the milk. So now, based on what I'm going to leave over now, the meat will be able to asa the milk. So I'm saying maybe that's also because now you're allowing the meat to create a new basa b'cholav. And you're not allowed to do that.
I'm not talking about that.
So here, what's
up? And now the bleas in the wall are cooking together. Till now they weren't cooking together because till now they were bottled. Okay, so just bottle means that there's no basa b'cholav here. Okay, we're gonna have to ask someone the shaila. We'll ask this guy coming this week. Okay.
Wait, so that in the case he said a lot of milk versus the meat, that milk's totally okay to eat, regardless of the second issue if you remove too much. You can drink that milk.
Yeah, just I'll tell you why.
The meat is
You didn't do it's not creating basa b'chalav, it's like cooking meat in more than shishim.
Obviously,
that's the meat. But it's less than a kazayis, and maybe you were not yanking a malt. It's less than a kazayis of basa, but a lot of milk. You're not over anything. Okay, so now that was the shach. Okay. Good. So now let's continue. Aval, however. Now, oh, by the way, one other point, the shach brings up an issue. When do you determine if it was still ben yoimai? Means the flavor has to be fresh. When do you determine if the flavor is fresh or not? In other words, let's take an example. You took a fleshik pan, and 9 a.m. Thursday morning, you cooked fleshiks. You got a head start on Shabbos. 9 a.m. you cook fleishiks. Okay? Then 9 p.m. Thursday night, you wash it out, you cooked hot water in it. You cooked a pot of soup. The next morning, Friday morning, okay, 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. next morning, you cooked up milchiks in that pot. So it's after 24 hours of the last use of milk, but it's within 24 hours of when you used it for water. Is that considered ben yoim or is that considered any ben yoim? What? So the answer is that for basar b'chalav, it's considered any ben yoim. Why? Again, we have to know more about this, but basically, because we monoshach, the flavor that stayed in the walls all the time, it's more than 24 hours later. The flavor that came out and went back in, because by the way, flavor only becomes pogum scientifically, Chazal scientifically. The Metzias and Chazal tell us is that it only becomes pogum if it stayed in the walls for 24 hours straight. But if it stayed in the walls for 23 hours, then it came out, got fresh air, went back in, it gets another 24 hours before it becomes pogum. That's the way flavor works, okay? Gets refreshed, gets a breath of fresh air, goes back in. So now, really what happens is, like this, how would that happen? If you cooked it up in water. So now the blia came out, the flavor of the meat came out, got some fresh air, goes back in.
So it comes out into the water.
It comes back in and then goes back in now, right?
And you can't throw the water out.
Well, it's called kashering the pot. So you could theoretically do that. But the point is, right? So, If you did it in a way it doesn't kash the pot, let's say you use chickens, you use a vegetable soup and it was a low temperature. It was enough yatza lettuce, but it's not boiling. It doesn't kash the pot. Okay. So the point would be that the flavor that stayed in the walls, that is pogum. The flavor that comes out and goes back in, theoretically, it starts a clock ticking, but it's what's called not bar not. It's a secondary flavor because it's now no longer in the pot, machmas, the meat that you cooked in there. It's in the pot, machmas, the flavor that the water got from the meat and went back in. It's a secondary flavor, which we're going to learn about not bar not, and therefore, that's not going to be a problem. So therefore, it goes by when you cooked last, not when you, however, washing dishes could be different. because washing dishes is vain there. So I think we would say that the 24 hours would start from the dishwasher. So if, let's say you have Sunday morning, you had breakfast dairy, and you didn't run the dishwasher till Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning you used it for fleishiks, that would be called ben yoimai of the dishwasher. Because there's ben, there's real flavor, there's real cheese on the plates, and the hot water is banging that flavor into the food. That's my first.
Usually, but the dishwasher is going to be placed in the air.
It's a different can of worms because you're saying maybe it's pogum, but this, but
no,
the fact.
It's pogum. It's going to be here. It's not going to do a mishlo.
No, but that's mefurish already here. That's mefurish in the taz inside the dalet.
That's why it's a dishwasher.
Not necessarily.
Every dishwasher, the pump, by definition, can't be shooting the water up. Go patch the. It needs to push the water up.
It squirts and it squirts into the thing.
He
doesn't say anything. He says in Mishum Achi Zaktataz and Tzadi Dalad Aleph. Im Ira Nami Miklirishan Al Klishu Meluchlak Mibasa Nechshav Kilu Yishtamish Boi Say Kli Miklirishan, and that's called when you start the clock ticking.
So Taz says. So time inside the walls doesn't get rejuvenated unless it comes out.
Correct. Correct. The point of why recooking something gives a new time clock is only because it came out and comes back and goes back in. Okay? What do we say in the dishwasher? What do you think? Every dishwasher is different and yeah, when does the soap come out? Okay. So let's leave that for a different time. But that's only the concept, okay? If you took a kettle and you poured water from a hot water kettle onto a milchika plate that's dirty, that would become benyam at that point. Okay? Fine. Now, says the mechaber further, avalim shah me'eslaes, but if you waited 24 hours, kaidim should be shabbat, havali nois and tam of gam, umutar atavshu. The tavshu is mutter. So what's this case? You have an einu benyam fleishikapat that was used more than 24 hours ago, and you cooked up milk. So the meat, this is something everyone needs to know. So the milk is 100% mutter. The milk is 100% mutter. What?
It's because
it was used for Eina Ben Yoma. Now, but the pot now is a problem. Why is the pot a problem? This is the problem because it's treif, because it has in it milk and meat. But in reality, if you think about it, the pot is not really treif, because the meat flavor in the pot cannot become basta b'cholov, because it's pogum, it's not fresh meat, it's old meat. You cannot create basta b'cholov on old meat. So what's the problem? The problem is simply that the pot has in it now a stira of which flavor it has. It has old meat flavor and it has new milk flavor. And guess what? In 24 hours from today, it's going to have old meat flavor and old milk flavor. Both. Now, you're not allowed, we all know that, you're not allowed to use l'chatchila in eino ben yoimoy of fleishiks to cook milk. Otherwise, why would you ever need two sets of pot? Just wait 24 hours. You're not allowed to do that. Okay? So l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do that. But this pot now is an interesting pot because it has in it old flavors of milk and old flavors of meat, but it doesn't have any treif in it. So that's why the Ramah says you're theoretically allowed to cook vegetable soup in it. You're allowed to use it for parv. Because nothing's going to happen when you cook up the parv in there.
Can you serve the soup now at a place you can on a dairy meal? Like, what's the status of that soup?
If you created a parv soup, so, you know, thank goodness for disposable. I don't know.
No, but like, is it place you can
very complicated, Shaila. What dishes to use with it? It's a tzadi. Hey, Shaila. I don't know.
Disposable.
For sure, disposable is a good answer. But the shaila is if you eat it with
with
either one. But I don't know lechatchila what you're allowed to do it with. It's a shaila if you can lechatchila cook in a ben yomai al das to eat with the other men. But al das to eat on kelim shalahem, I think from the forish in the Ramad. So you could probably eat it in whichever one you want. The shaila he's saying is, if you took this pot that has old fleishik liyas and it has old milk flavor, but it doesn't have any treif.
I'm talking about afterwards.
Right, correct. But if you waited, so now it's old, has this pot has old fleishiks and old milchiks. Theoretically, you can cook a parv soup in there because there's no treif in it. Sounds weird, right? But it's theoretically you can cook parv. She's saying if you cook parv, which bowl do you put it in? A fleishik bowl or milchik bowl? Where do you serve the soup?
It doesn't become
basa b'chala. Right.
It doesn't?
No, because the because the meat was old. In the walls. It doesn't because the meat flavor was pogum, the meat flavor was old, and the milk flavor goes in, it didn't answer anything because the meat flavor can't become basa b'chala, and the milk flavor cannot become basa b'chala from the meat, so therefore it just has both in there, sitting there, but they're not treif. So now you can cook a pot of soup in there, theoretically, okay? Well, now, the Baal Dei HaShulchan points out that you cannot cook, if you're going to cook your pot of soup, don't saute your onions in there. Because if you cook a davar charif in there, and that davar charif has the ability to freshen up old blias. So now you're going to take the old blias and it's going to become basam cholov now. So therefore, don't use it for a davar charif, but you could theoretically use it for a parif. Okay? Now, that's the theoretical halach in the Ramah. But lemaisa, inside here, we're going to learn the minhag is, it's not the minhag of today, it's the minhag of the shachana, of the shach. The minhag is we don't use that, these pots. We kasha them. You don't use them for parv because it's too confusing. Right? People get carried away and it's too confusing. However, it's only a minhag. Therefore, a material that cannot be kasher, like cheres, okay, or pyrex, that could happen, is a material that cannot be kasher. It could be that we won't have to be machmer on the minhag and you could actually use it for parv. So, you know, that would be that.
You'd have to get a new sponge. You can put in your basic dishwasher.
I don't know what you. Yeah, basically, right. It would end up adding. It's a new category. Yeah.
Assuming you have three categories in your kitchen, one of them is potter, so we'll go in
potter. Correct. Which is not a category that they had in those days.
Yeah.
Pretty clearly, Shulchan Aruch, they did not have power of dishes in those days. So it's another raya that you know vegetables. You know you don't have to run through your vegetables. So you know, we're making a whole big category of parv. Okay? Now, before we start the next inyan inside of Gimel, there's another big inyan inside of Gimel, is the inyan of the pot cover. Okay? Pot cover is a big sugya, and it comes up all the time. The classical case is when the husband's getting too involved in the kitchen, not supposed to. So he decides he's going to peek into the pot, right? So, and then it's like, you know, there's a milchik thing cooking and there's a fleishik thing cooking. And he wants to go peek into the fleishik pot, takes off the cover of the fleishik pot, puts it in the meanwhile in the pot next to him and goes sit. And then now he put this fleishik cover on the milchik pot. Right? So what's the deal with that? We're going to see it's a pretty big deal. So we'll have to get back to that. But I want to just go over a concept, which is Gufa Shaila if Nagela Maisa. It's an unbelievable concept. And we're going to try to say over now the Shach and the Taz is Mahalach, and why both the Shach and the Taz is Shver, and what's maybe the real Pshat and the Rashba. Okay? So the Tur does not come up in Shulchan Aruch, but the Tur brings down a baffling Rashba. The Rashba in the Taras Abayi says the following. You had a Fleishik Kapat, you had a Fleishik Kapat, and you took the flesh of kapat and you cooked up vegetable soup in there. You cooked up vegetable soup in there. You cooked up flesh. You cooked up parv soup. After you cook up the parv soup, you think to yourself, "Hey, I'm in the mood of a milchik soup." Rashba says you could cook the milchik soup in that flesh of kapat. No problem. I don't know what did you just do? What are you talking about? How did you just pull that one off? So the Shach and the Taz both learn that the Rashba is saying a chiddush in Hagala. And the Taz says basically it's a very simple Rashba. He just caught you on the thing. He said, you cooked up broccoli. Let's forget a vegetable soup. You cooked up broccoli, you steamed broccoli in the fleishik pot. Okay, so basically you did Hagala. That's like what Shmuel was saying before. You basically kashered the pot. Right? You steamed the broccoli. So what'd you do? You cooked up water in the pot. You did a gola. So what's even the chiddush of the Rashba? The chiddush of the Rashba is Says the Taz, is that your derech is, most people, when you do a gala, you have to cover, go up to the top of the pot. Just in case one time over the year, you filled up the pot to the top. Okay, but generally, you don't fill up the pot to the top. So you know your derech and how high you fill up your pot. So therefore, when you cooked the corned beef in there, and then today you cook the broccoli, probably you filled up the pot the same level, and therefore you can assume you kasher the pot. That's the Rashba's chap on this thing, which is not, then he's not saying a chiddush. Then in the Marashach, you did or you didn't, right? So the shach in the Nukudas HaKesef, okay?
Do you need to have kavana when you do a gala?
No, that's the whole point of this Rashba.
Happens mela, you
right. Get to enjoy the whole point of this Rashba, according to the Shach, is basically to say it became a goal without realizing you did a goal. Okay? What? The broccoli is.
No, it got
kosher. No, it got kosher for the next time. But the broccoli itself, you cannot eat with milk. Because it has meat flavor in it.
It's in there while the pot is kosher.
Okay, so right? What? It's the same thing. When you kosher water, you can't eat that water with coffee now. Because that water is taka has it just the, it got all the fleshiks out of the pot, but now it's in the water. So the shach says like it's not much like that, and maybe that's only true by kachim, because by kachim everyone has the same recipe. Every the gemara is moved by kachim if you do such a thing like that. If you cook the chatos and then you cook the shlomim, so the pot is not a chatos pot anymore; it's a shlomim pot. Says that's because taka every animal has the same recipe. You cooked exactly the same amount of meat in each pot, so fine. But otherwise, you can't do that. But basically, the Shach says that it's basically the Rashba saying also you did Hagala, and he's saying a shtickle chiddush that even if you did not heat up the pot all the way and it didn't come to a boil, as long as it came to Yatzaledis, maybe that's enough. So he's saying a chiddush in Hagala. So basically, the Shach and the Taz are both saying Chiddush and Agala, and basically, we don't pass like this Chiddush unless you really know you did Agala. You got to do Agala all the way. But there's another Mahalach in the Rashba, which I was like, I couldn't figure out what the Taz and the Shach are talking about, because you can read the Rashba inside, he's saying something completely different. And I'm like, looking at the Shach and Taz, I'm like, did I miss something? So this morning, I was looking in a Sefer called the Mishnah Sefer, or something like Megillah Sefer. So he says over there, yeah, Taka, all the Achronim say the Shach and Taz, no Shaychis, the Rashba. And, like, there's another pshat over here besides the Shach and Taz, the Malach. So I was very pleased. So he says, like, the pshat is like this, okay? The pshat is like this. Remember, we just mentioned the concept called, a concept called not bar not. So not bar not means when you take meat, okay? So you take meat and you cooked up meat in a pot. So the flavor that's now in the pot is called the tam rishon. It's the etzem flavor of the meat went into the pot, okay? When you now go ahead and let's say cook up a piece of food, broccoli, whatever, in that fleshik pot, the flavor in that water is tam sheni because it wasn't cooked with meat, right? It was cooked in a pot that got the flavor from the meat. So how many steps removed is this water from the pot? It's the second step, right? The flavor went from the meat to the pot and then from the pot to the water. Then when you put that water, let's say you recook that water in another pot. So assuming that, you know, only pots carry, you know, knock it down a level. So what type of flavor will be in that pot? Tam Sheni, it may be even Tam Shlishi, but let's say Tam Sheni. It's a weaker flavor, right? So flavor that is in a pot that got the flavor from the meat is Tam Rishon. If a pot only got flavor from something that got flavor from meat, it's a Tam Sheni. Tam Sheni is not Aser in Basa B'chol. Okay? Now, why not?
That's the definition not bar not.
Not Nersin Tam, bar Nersin Tam. Now, what's the idea? The idea is like this. This is how the Rashba learns not by not. When you have a very weak flavor, so it's one thing, maybe it's still there, but now you can't now create a new din on that flavor. It's very weak. So that din, that new flavor cannot create a new din. Okay, we're not gonna like now go make new halachas about this weak flavor. But for example, let's say that flavor was already added into it. Let's say that flavor was usher already, then it retains its din, it's still there. So that's why there's no such thing as not bar not by isser. So if you have a flesh, if you have a treif pot, you bought at a treif pot, and then you cook it in water, and then you cook that water in another pot, it stays also forever. Because the isser never goes, the isser stays forever until you're mevatel it. Right? But by kosher flavor, it's just a question of creating a new din on it. What? It's also because of this. Even according to Mechab, there's no chanan in his shoes. There's no napranat by isser. Because it's the lumdus of napranat is you can't create a new din on it. But if it's just keeping its old din, then it can keep its old din.
Can it get stronger?
Without getting stronger. So with the shot, what do you see from there? That if you weaken or dilute the flavor of basar or chalav, then it's so weak, it cannot get a new status to it. Okay? So therefore, by the way, this is nogiyat chametz also. This is the difference. You ever heard anyone talk about, chametz, before Pesach, after Pesach. You ever heard this? Before Pesach, after Pesach. What? Before Pesach, on Pesach. Right? What's the difference? Why is it more lenient before Pesach, after Pesach? It's Pesach now. Who cares if you cooked it before Pesach? The answer is because before Pesach, the flavor was still mutter. So if we're going into Pesach, it was a very weak flavor, Pesach's not going to create a new din on it. It's going to make it usher, right? But if you cooked it on Pesach, it was usher already, so it stays usher forever. So the point is, Dr. Rashba, the Lashon and the Rashba, when you cook up the broccoli in the Flesh of Kapat, what he did is he says you made the bliya kolosh. That's his lashon in the Torah of Bais. You made the flavor kolosh weak. What's he saying? He's saying is that when you take a flesh of kapat and you cook the broccoli in there, it taco didn't kosher it. For whatever reason, it's not a kosher agala. Maybe it didn't reach up to the level, or maybe it's not hot enough. Well, it's not kosher agala. It's not the point. But he's saying a chiddush that you cooked it up once already. The flavor that remains in the pot is kolosh now. It got weakened. It got diluted. And that dilution of the flavor is equivalent to the same level of not bar not. And therefore,
so then that's going to take away.
This could work even by Charis.
Maybe. That's going to take away Binyoma, right?
Possibly. Could be this could work even by Charis. Because this is not a Vardin of kashering. It's not a Vardin of taking out of the blizz and putting it back in. This is a Vardin that the blizz that stay in the pot, I have a karach to dilute them. By creating them into like a not for not type of flavor. It's the same level of weakness. I'm saying it's not for not, but it's diluted. Even without that. Because you weakened them because they got used already, because they became cooked. That's why the Rashba says it in the Taras of Bais. So he says that the idea is that by kosher pots, where you could, the big enough community is according to this, it would never work by Isser, what I'm saying. According to the Shach and Taz, maybe saying it by Isser also. The way we're saying pshat in the Ramah in the Rashba is that he's saying is a yisoid that if you cook the flesh kapat once in water, that itself dilutes the flavor to the point that the next time you use it, it's like an up or not type of pot. Therefore, won't create a new iser. Now, right. That's his point. When it stayed in the wall becomes shvach. The muscle, if it went in through tzli and then you cooked it, it could be the same lumdus. It can't be a gala. But it wouldn't matter because it became weak.
So if you cook the milk in soup an hour after you steam the
broccoli. Right, so that's Rashba says it's good. Yeah. That's his din. That is the Rashba's halacha. I'm saying. No, that's Rashba's halacha. Now they're saying he's saying a chiddush in a gala. So it's very limited. You have to figure out each case. Is it a gala or is it not a gala? Saying, but if you look in the Rashba inside, he's not saying a chiddush in a gala. He's saying a chiddush in a parnat. And you have the kolach to be maklish the flavor. You have the kolach to make the flavor kolach. Now, if do we pass like this Rashba or not?
He's arguing on the spot enough.
Yeah.
If you say it's not, yeah, it's lettuce, but it has to be hot enough to make a kolach.
Right. Yeah.
It's 30 degrees, it's not going to do anything.
Right, obviously. It has to reach some level of heat. So Lamaisa, so I don't think we pass like the Rashba straight up, but I think that place can use it as a tier.
Yeah,
because it's the same on this, because it makes it shvach. Right, Liebenkahl works by heter. Even something that needs Liebenkahl.
That
That wouldn't be because of this scar.
Maybe it is a shtick because of this. Because it took out the potent, it took out the chizik of the flavor. It just leaves in an amashu that little bit, that weakened flavor is a tam kolish. The Rash position is it's a tam kolish. And he says it works by kachim and it works by chametz and it works over here. Just it doesn't work for this, it only works for head. That's what he said. So if you look, I can give it to Maron Malkum in the Teres Bais inside. But this, if you look in the Teres Bais inside, this is what he's saying. I mean, Lani is Daiti, Prince of Larva Achrenim, and I don't think the Shachan Taz look like this, but there is another pshat out there in the Rashba. All right, so with that. This Rashba was brought in the Taz by Richas, so a couple of days. All right, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you. Call too.
Thank you very much. It's good.
Nice to see you again. Thank you.